B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you
at? 515-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Win it Bruin style. Bruin style. It's playoff time, and now Chicago plays the Bruins. And just like playing Pittsburgh, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, because we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Thornton, because that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Jagr or Patrice Bergeron. Don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat the Blackhawks. Let's beat the Blackhawks for the cup. We want the cup. We'll beat the Blackhawks. Yes, beat the Blackhawks for the cup. We want the cup. And this is how we're gonna get the Stanley Cup. Win it Bruin style. Hey, David Krejci. Win, 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 win. Win it Bruin style. Hey, David Krejci. Win, 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 win. Win it Bruin style.
The roast beef.
Kelly's roast beef. Another one of my favorites.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you, you two-faced rat.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on their Twitch, twitch.tv, or you can... Go get that on your smartphone, the Twitch app, and search the Sports Hub. Wearing my son's shoes today by accident.
You're wearing your son's shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I had to take them off, and then I'm going to have to put them on if I have to go potty. You know, drain the lizard.
Yeah, you don't want to walk into the bathroom with bare feet.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You get to sog them up with pee. There's pee all over the place. You get your socks all soaked in pee. Ugh.
That's impressive. So he's big enough to where he wears the same size shoe as you. Now,
no.
Do you have?
I have 10.5, and he wears 9.5.
Oh wow. Okay, so it's pretty close.
So, and my wife ingeniously gets us the same shoes, same color, same brand, and there you go.
The pumps. You guys both rock the Reebok pumps.
They brought those back.
Mm-hmm.
They brought those back. D. Brown.
It was one of my favorite moments of the slam dunk contest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was pretty much out on the slam dunk contest by that point.
See, to me, that was almost like just that was maybe a year or two after the heyday. Like, I mean, obviously Michael Jordan and everything, that was at its greatest. But early 90s was still fun.
That was signaled to me the beginning of the end. Where it was more about props than anything else.
But that was like the first real prop.
No, as I said, that was the beginning
like,
of the
Whoa.
End.
Yeah, but at that moment, it was hysterical. Like, okay, he's like pumping up his shoes.
Yeah.
And Reebok must have been freaking out at that point.
Sure.
They put it on the map.
Well, no, I mean, it was obviously planned ahead of time
yeah.
that he was going to do that. But when Dominique Wilkins got screwed against Michael Jordan, that was obviously a Montreal screw job. And then you had Spud Webb win when he didn't deserve it either.
I forget who we went up against that year. It was more about, wow, a 5'7 guy just dunked.
Was it him versus his own teammate? Was he up against Dominique that year?
I don't.
I used to have him on Betamax, but I don't remember who he beat either. And who was the guy from the Knicks that won?
Kenny Smith.
Kenny Smith.
Oh, sorry, Kenny Walker. Skywalker.
Yep.
Kenny Smith. He was never Skywalker. Good. No. That was like 88, something yeah. like that.
So, yeah, that was the end.
D. Brown was 91?
I want to say 91.
Okay.
90, 91.
Yeah, right around then.
Yeah.
I was out by that point.
Yeah. And now you got guys jumping over cars, guys in Superman capes. You know,
well, that was...
Guys wearing blindfolds.
When Dwight Howard showed up, that's when you're just like, okay, that's when it got ridiculous.
Yeah, he didn't even dunk. He kind of threw it in wearing a Superman cape while jumping over a car. You're like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, dunking's boring, though.
You are 6'11". I mean, this is not, you know.
Who is the guy who made a sticker of his own face and put it on the backboard before he dunked the ball?
Howard put a sticker on the backboard. I know that.
No, there was one guy who had a sticker with his own face on it, and I thought that was actually kind of funny. Like that was fairly ridiculous. One guy put a cupcake up there and blew out the candle. Like, I almost think that you have to embrace how ridiculous it's become, and that's the only way that you could actually do something that will get my attention. I mean, the jumping over the car thing I thought was so overblown, because he didn't jump over the car. He jumped over, like, the front part of the car, which is easy to jump over.
I don't know. Giannis can dunk from the free throw line in a game. It's over.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's over.
So, last night, Fred, I had way too much fun. Whenever we put out the call to our listeners... Every once in a while, they truly amaze me at how much effort they put into something that, you know, we ask for them to do. So we've got this contest going on for the Ultimate Bruins Superfan, someone who could possibly be in the Avengers Superfan group that they've got of Xanadude. You've got Ultimate Warrior. You've got the Big Scary Man guy. And I got a ton of videos last night. We got a bunch of them. The way that you submit to get these tickets to win to game one is that you had to make a 2-minute or less video and tweet it at 98.5 Sports Hub. Put the hashtag Sports Hub Bruins Contest, showing why you're a super fan. There are people who like went all throughout the city creating videos of them in different places, like as their character or whatever it is. And those were great. But the best were the ones that came in that were just weird and terrifying and amazing all at the same time.
Terrifying?
Yeah. Like, there was a guy yesterday that I said was freaky. There's two that I saw last night that are really freaky, and I can't wait to get them in studio just to make Fred feel uncomfortable.
Did they mention Fred by name?
They mentioned us by name. There's one dude who I think would dress like this normally, even if there wasn't a contest going on.
Now, Xanadude is on the fence. He's trying to get someone to cover his...
Xanadude's going to be like, Xanadude is going to be a celebrity judge.
Yeah, I know. We have him in. Is he, but he's got to get someone to cover his class.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a real gig, and as of right now, he's working on it. We should know something by, I think, like, put it this way. This is how nuts it's gotten. If Xanadude wasn't here, you probably wouldn't notice.
All right.
I mean, we've gone next level on this. And I had pretty good expectations for this contest. They have been blown away.
All right, well, there'll be three people in here.
Maybe even more.
Wow.
I might just want to just pack the studio tomorrow. Because, I mean, they're that good. And I want it to just be chaos tomorrow, to be quite honest.
How many contestants do you want?
You know what? I'm just going to invite anyone who blows me away. And
you just said three, so now that's out the window.
I don't know if it's out the window. It depends. I think at least four.
I see nothing legally that we have to only have three.
Yeah, you see, I don't think there's anything legally that says we only have to have three.
That's fine. I'm just saying you're going to interview all of these people, so eventually you're going to have to cut it off somewhere.
Maybe. I mean, maybe you just have, you know, you'll know immediately that someone doesn't deserve it, but maybe we've got like five superstars.
Okay.
Well, if we have five people and we don't have to worry about creating any kind of real content.
Well, see, that's the thing. I just want chaos tomorrow at 8:00 here in studio. And just judging by the way these people look and how weird some of them are, chaos will indeed happen.
So you just, you just have them debate each other.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Do it like a presidential debate.
Yeah.
Or just have them go up, or like, you know, first take for weird Bruins fans. Just have them go up and just yell at each other.
All right, my idea, if we're going to have all that many people in, is just to have them state their case. Yeah, like a debate. And then there's a time for the others to question the one.
Yeah, sure. It's like, you know, going to be, yeah, no. you're on trial.
Congratulations. Our meeting just got a lot less.
That's at least an hour. Right? So that's
an hour. I'll introduce you to some of the people at the 8 o'clock hour, because we got some of these videos in. There's one guy that is one of these people that for some reason I thought didn't exist in real life and only on the internet. Like a guy I've seen like go viral as a Bruins fan. And I was just like, oh, this is probably just a weird dude who lives in like northern Maine that we'll never meet. No. This person's real and he wants to be in the contest.
All right. Well, if you're questioning the reality of a person, I would imagine that it's...
It was just one of those things that was so strange. I'm like, there's no way this person... This has got to be like an act or something. No.
He's as real as the day is long. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
Well, let's get to some more Bruins news on top of that. Shavis! How about my man, the Shave, taking care of business?
Oh, boy, doing them roids. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right, let's check the calendar. We are now 4 more short days away from the Bruins finally playing in game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. We're almost there. We're at the finish line. As I'm sure we could all imagine, the players themselves are itching to finally get this started, and David Pastrnak knows this experience is going to be like nothing he's ever experienced before.
Excited, obviously, you know, good team, you know, came long way from a season just like us. We came long way as a team, but, you know, it's going to be a really good series, tough series, but for us, it's we want to focus on our team, and we know we're good.
Mm-hmm. Well, one
okay.
of the... Yep. And
well, hey, guys.
Well said. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in.
Don't quite know what that was, but nonetheless.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Now, that I understand.
I swear, every
was time. He in the live, John, on top of the live Jeffersons and All in the Family last night?
I've heard nothing but good things. I actually heard it was pretty good, and I didn't realize they were going to do this. And John told me, they didn't make a new episode. They just recreated an old one.
Oh, wow, that's so great. So, Wow, they just copied something.
But it was kind of a cool experiment, I guess, to see whether or not it would still stand up.
They kind of couched it. Norman Lear, who, by the way, still has his wits about him at 96,
yes,
was saying that, you know, some of the topics brought up by the scripts 45 years ago are still, you know, of the same battles are still going through as society
we're
today.
Progressing as a society.
And all that stuff. Okay. So that was why they
did. They bleeped out one word on the Jeffersons.
Yes, they did.
And they probably cherry-picked scripts that were... It wasn't the one where Edith was almost sexually assaulted?
No, it was not that one. No.
Let me guess which word that they beeped out. Was it the H word for white guys?
No.
Okay. Because that what he... What,
did they Jefferson say honky goes, during it?
I think they did, actually. Did they? They might have.
Yeah, I think that you're allowed to say that.
Yeah. It's the opposite of that. That was the one... It was the one
they said that on TV back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
The N word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because back then you would the understanding was that that was George Jefferson said it, right?
Yeah, no, they beeped it out. It was during the Jeffersons that it was said, not during All in the Family.
Okay, Did so, Archie Munger ever say that word?
Probably.
I would imagine at some point. Yeah.
And then the idea was that you knew that Archie Bunker was a dumb racist.
Right.
And that you would that illustrated the fact. But now we would never understand that as a populist. We would assume that he was glorifying that
right.
since there is no context. So there you go.
And I love Woody Harrelson, but you said he wasn't quite the. I mean, how do you play that character?
It's an iconic character. You're fighting a losing battle. I mean, yeah. It's a top five sitcom character of all time, and he tried, but you could see him trying. Jamie Foxx was great as George Jefferson, but Marissa Tomei was excellent as Edith Bunker. I thought
I could That's see her being pretty good.
Well, yeah. There's no. Did she have a house coat on?
Yeah, she wore the same outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Same outfits as.
Did she wear a wig?
Yes.
Did she say, Archie?
Yep.
She talked like that?
Yep.
Well, just a copy. It's nothing but a copy. Hmm.
Well, what did you want her to do?
Just, you know, maybe loosen up a little bit. Let it get going.
A 2019 version of Edith Bunker?
Listen, I can't get enough of the Pam and on-screen love of Tim Kaczynski or whatever his name
John
is.
John Kaczynski.
They Pam likes the St. Louis Blues,
right.
And John Kaczynski likes the Bruins.
Right. So just get ready, because that is story number one that is going to be overplayed over the next 2 weeks. You're going to hear a lot of that. I guarantee you there's going to be a Jeremy Roenick segment during one of the broadcasts where he's interviewing Pam from The Office, and then there's going to be Jim Halpert, who's not going to actually show up. He's going to record like a video or something, and they're just going to play that video. But Pam's available. Like,
John Hamm and Paul Rudd, both St. Louis Blues fans, because they're both Cardinal fans. I know that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you know how I know that? Is that Paul Rudd was friends with the Buck fella, and he was on the Artie Lang infamous episode of Joe Buck Tries to Be Funny.
Okay.
And... have you seen Artie Lang's mugshot?
I have. Oof. Yeah.
The new one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was Nick showed it to me yesterday. Hachi Machi. Hachi to the Machi.
Well, another storyline that's going to be overused, unfortunately, is that David Backus spent his time as the captain of the St. Louis Blues, and they're saying, hey, you got any information on any inside info on the upcoming opponent? And to that, Backus said,
if I've got information that I think can help us, I'm going to disseminate it. But I don't know that I've got the secret sauce. It's going to be a battle of wills. Both teams are, you know, very similar in their makeup, very similar in their style of play, very similar in their resiliency. Both have really good and hot goaltenders. And the difference I see is we've got a bigger group of guys that have been to this level, been to this stage.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I like the Backus story. I like that he's 35 and going back to where he had all of the success and chasing the championship. I'm not jaded like you, Rich.
But no one's bitter. It's not like he's got extra incentive to beat this team.
I think it makes it more interesting that he's not bitter. I think it makes it more interesting that this is something that he's always wanted. This is something that he's been chasing, and he's going back to a town that loves him. I find that to be interesting.
I don't know. I find it more interesting when it was someone scorned and they're going back and they're trying to make them pay for trading him or something like that. There just seems to be none of that there. Like, everyone's like, yeah, we like Backus, and he's just likable everywhere. And you're like, all right, well, that's not really the kind of drama I'm looking
for. He lives
on
a public road.
Yeah. Well, one thing, are most roads public?
A main road, I should say.
Right. Well, one cool thing the team is doing.
He lives on a main road.
Yes.
Okay. Where there's a lot of traffic. It would be hard to back out of his driveway.
Okay. Well, the team is breaking off some of the rust.
Wobbin area.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Wobbin area.
Little League Parade goes right by his house.
Yeah, he could walk to, what is that pizza place there, Johnny Boy?
I don't know.
Stone Lovin'.
Okay.
Stone and Love?
He could just take
it's a journey themed pizza place.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe that's the hook. Maybe there's a lawsuit on their hands.
Possibly.
Walk over there. There's a hardware store. You don't see those every day.
That's true. Natick had one downtown and closed 2 years ago.
You know, small business getting overrun by these corps.
Very difficult.
Support small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, to break off the rust tonight, there's going to be a team scrimmage open to fans at the TD Garden. This will be your last chance this season to see the Bruins at an affordable price. And oh my God, I checked this morning and there's like 14 tickets left. It's an inter-squad scrimmage that is almost sold out. That is nuts. Right? I went on Ticketmaster, and I think the only thing available was like row 15, way up in the 300 section. So if you don't have your tickets by now, get on. Right, I bet within the next couple hours that thing's going to be sold out.
I'm very curious as to what the game presentation is going to be like.
Well, I you know what?
Do we have Jim Martin, the public address announcer? Do we have
Nesson shouldn't televise this, by the way. I went to their website, and I couldn't find out if they were because it's so damn hard to navigate. Like, there's so much stuff going on the Nesson website. But there's no reason they shouldn't broadcast there. Right now, people, obviously, because of this nearly sold-out scrimmage, people are thirsty for this team right now. I mean, my God, it's anything anyone says leading up to this 11-day break we've had between anything Bruins is killing people.
Jack Edwards, I'm sure, would do this game for nothing, man. He's sitting around. He's not doing anything. I mean, keep him off the streets. He's bring him back to the Garden.
He probably is.
I'm not joking.
He's writing songs about the chamois in his shorts. Well, Jake DeBrusk, for one, is very excited.
Ryeball.
It's a very ryeball.
I thought of.
Well, yep. He's excited about tonight, Jake DeBrusk, and being able to do something for the fans.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be exciting. I think there's a couple guys that want to square off with me at center ice. We don't know the teams yet, but no, I think that's more so just to kind of emulate a game day and kind of get that spiel going. But I don't know if it'll be too intense or anything like that. But and saying that's going to be lots of fun. There's going to be fans coming, so we're going to try to put on a good show.
And, of course, Mr. Nick will be out there doing drunken scrimmage recaps, which I'm sure it's going to be a great environment. I mean, I'm telling you, people are going nuts, right? I still can't believe this thing's almost sold out, and it's just a scrimmage. Well, there's been so much time off, and people are running out of questions to ask. So yesterday, Bruce Cassidy was asked where he thinks Patrice Bergeron ranks in Boston sports stars.
Starting with the Bruins, right? He's probably... because he was drafted here and started 18, there's Z, of course, too, the captain. But Z came from another organization, so Berge has a little different beginning than Berge in that regard. So he's probably, if you look at that whole process from beginning to now, the face of the franchise for the last, whatever, X amount of years. So that's what he has in the market. How does that compare to Brady? Well, Brady has 6 Super Bowl rings. So, Berge's a ways away from that, unfortunately. For the Red Sox... it's a good question. I don't know who would be.
Nobody.
Is it Pedroia maybe? But he's kind of, now not as Mookie start become the young guy that's maybe past us. So I got to believe with the Celtics, they've had some turnover. So Berge, I don't know, you guys tell me, you cover it more than I do. Would he be the second most? Something you guys can debate, I guess, but certainly up there.
I think it goes Brady, Bergeron, Brad Wanamaker third. And then that's really the end of the discussion.
I think it goes to the New England Patriots is everybody on that team, and then Bergeron.
Yeah, I mean, they're just more popular than everything and everybody.
Right.
Well, so if you're one of the lucky ones to have gotten your ticket, the puck drops at 7 o'clock tonight for the inter-squad scrimmage, and then 3 more days until real hockey. 3 more long, long days.
But it's Memorial Day, so it's time to get out the grills. Mm-hmm. And the dogs and the bergs. Mm-hmm. And have the fam and friends over and just enjoy it. Just, put up a flag and just say, hey, we're going to, roast some bergs. Put the condiments out there.
I saw a couple Patriots putting the flags out at the Boston Common yesterday. Like, I mean, there was a big bunch of news meetings. And I actually had to look up one of the numbers. And I didn't realize there was an Izzo on the team right now. He's like a backup tight end.
Yeah.
He's like, how far down in the depth chart?
So the all-star crew is what you're saying.
Yeah. He was the first one
fourth,
I noticed. You might be
fifth,
fourth on the depth chart.
Fourth.
Yeah. I was like,
fifth.
Who's that guy?
I think Watson's ahead of him now.
Yeah. Well, you would think he'd
Watson,
be ahead of him.
Watson, Lacoste, Seferian, Jenkins.
And then Izzo,
I would think.
Because I looked at like, Izzo. I was like, Izzo. I'm like, oh, okay. What's a different Izzo?
Yes.
There you go. So there was a few Patriots Patriots players out there putting those flags. It looks pretty cool if you ever go by the Common and see that. It's pretty unbelievable what they do. So we've got more Red Sox news. Your man, Chavis, mm-hmm. This is pretty unbelievable what he's doing. We will get to that and also how everything else was handled with the Robert Kraft situation. We got a good news, bad news thing for Mr. RKK.
All right. Well, listen, steroids, kids, that's what you want to do. You can save your career. All right, here are the headlines. 98.5
The Sport. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Dreads? Hello.
Yeah. How are you doing, guys? Hey, guys.
Hey.
You guys ready to get the dance choreographed on the Jumbotron and get the Bear Force One goal song going? Position that for the goal song. That would be a great opportunity. Get that game televised. Have Jack Edwards freaking out, yelling goals, and have that Bear Force One song going. Huh? What do you say?
This is the time to do it. It's a scrimmage.
It would be. If there's any time to give it a try, do it tonight at the scrimmage. Goal scored. Watch the crowd go nuts.
And the video's already been made.
Yeah, like somebody made one for us that has the dancing bear and everything. And
no, I just think you played the actual Bear Force One video.
Yeah, but you can play that, yes. At least the first 45 seconds of it.
Well, does it get much more? Do they start removing clothing?
There's some running on the beach and silhouettes, yes.
Oh, that's right. They come out of the water.
but for the most part, at the beginning of it, they're in these very bright polos.
Yeah.
With white jeans. You know, and they, of course, do the dance. It's right about here that there's some beach scenes. That,
yeah, they run out of the water, right?
There's some showering, I think, involved.
You let it ride.
They're showering with wins. You know, showering them with goals.
Right.
It would be like, you know, what's the word? There's like a parallel? Or
now, are they hairy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
I was
going to
say that there's...
They're like a bunch of, like, built Nick Jamelis.
Okay. I wonder, was this like a hit in Sweden or something?
I wouldn't doubt it. Iceland's number one dance band. You got to do it, though. Tonight's the night to try it out. He's exactly right. Put it up there in the Jumbotron when the goal is scored and watch the crowd goes nuts.
Well, if I told you that was like a Flock of Seagulls song.
I think there's like four of other people's songs in that song.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't tell me I was crazy.
No, definitely not. Well, where would the Red Sox be without the shave?
High, deep drive into left center field. That one's way back there. Carrying, gone! And now Chavis has struck again, and the Red Sox are in the lead again.
I'm going to tell you something. You cannot leave a breaking ball over the heart of the plate to Chavis. You just can't do it. He's going to mash that pitch.
By the way, that's Nesson, and that just got me thinking. So today's the fourth game, the final game in this series against the Rays, is at 12:30. There's no excuse for them not to show the scrimmage tonight. It's not going up against the Red Sox game.
Yep.
So you got to set that up. They got to televise this somewhere. And whoever decides to do it or whoever has the rights to do it, I don't even know if the Nesson has the rights, but whoever does is going to get a ton of people watching it. It would probably be the most watched thing in Boston this evening if you put it on TV.
Yeah.
So somebody get on there. Well, this Chavis thing's getting ridiculous. In the 13th inning of a game that ended at 11:37 p.m., the legend of Michael Chavis grew when he hit his 10th home run of the year to beat the Jays 6-5. Chavis now on pace to hit 4,000 home runs this year. I mean,
he's on pace to hit 33. In about 90 games.
I don't think that's true because he's had, 10 home runs in 4 weeks?
I know, but don't forget, he didn't start the season with the Red Sox. I mean, his...
Right, so in 4 weeks, he's hit 10 home runs.
He's been in the majors just about exactly a month, and he has 10 homers.
Yeah.
And he never gets cheated. All of them are 420 or further.
Okay,
I know, it's amazing that as a young pro, he hit for very little power.
Well, he had 31 home runs in one minor league season.
And then what happened?
He got busted for PED use.
Right. So before
suspended for 80 games.
So before that, what was his power like?
About half that. 15, 20 homers.
So he
his first minor league season was 3 years ago.
Right. So yeah, he you know what? You grow up a little bit in the minors. You learn power.
You know, you put on some weight, you learn.
Hey, Jacoby Ellsbury was a singles hitter and magically appeared, had a 30-30 season here in Boston.
Yeah. And
you see it happen.
Then he went crazy.
Yep.
And then, you know, he got paid and that was that.
He's on pace for 50 home runs.
If he was to play a full season, yes, that's not possible this year because he spent some time in the minors.
Okay, so you're saying that he's not going to be able to get that number.
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean...
That was my point. Look, you hit a home run every third game, that's a 50 home run season.
Which is Mike Judge in his rookie season like.
I think Aaron Judge.
From Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
Office
it
space.
Is. It is.
Aaron Judge, I think, hit like 52, 53, I think.
Yeah, the thing with Chavis is, I mean, he's been in the majors a month now. The book on him, whatever it is, should be out by now. And he's still collecting homers and still getting hits. And he's been through his 0 for 15, 0 for 20 slump and come back and strung together four multi-hit games in a row.
I guarantee you this doesn't last.
Well, I mean, it can't.
I was reading over the last weekend in the Sunday Globe, the scouting report on him, and I forget who wrote the On Baseball column, but the scouting report on him is Dan Uggla. And Dan Uggla was an all-star second baseman for the Florida Marlins and Atlanta Braves. He was a guy who hit 250, 260, was good for 25 or 30 homers, but also struck out 150, 160 times a year.
Okay, that's a good player.
I'm not saying it's not. Direct your attention over there.
No. What I mean is that I thought that the Red Sox farm system was supposed to be awful. And then you get this guy coming up, and it kind of contradicts everything that we've heard so far.
Yeah, it's a very small sample size, and I don't believe in this at
all. So this is the Linsanity of baseball? Is that what you're saying?
Not even.
Comes out of the box there, and he goes nuts, and then all of a sudden...
Not even Linsanity.
The kid can feel this position. He's not a great defensive player, but he doesn't take... He's like a neutral defensive player.
All right.
He's decent at second base, and he hits the ball. He hits it far. And a guy who can hit 240 or 250 with 25 homers is fine.
That was a good
actually,
player.
Actually, that mirrors that's today's really majors. That's what the majors are all about these days.
Yeah.
So I think it will last. I said, he's had his offer. The book on him is out. I'm not saying he's going to have any 20 or 25-game hit streaks, but he's going to be a productive major league player.
Well, poor
I disagree.
Okay.
I don't think so at all.
Right.
And you base this on what?
That he is a steroids has created his entire power repertoire.
Well, I mean, I guess he's got to be tested.
So what is it now? The power that he's exhibiting now? Since he's already been busted for PEDs, and one would think the authorities are looking at him closer.
I think that it's a residual effect.
You mean you think he's still taking them?
Or if he's not, the residual effect is still there.
It's not still completely out of his system. He's still muscular, but that'll fade in the next year or so.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I disagree with that. I don't think that's true. I think this is your second baseman for many years to come.
Yeah, you want a nice 240 average at second base.
I think if you can get the power, that they'll live with 240 at second base.
Okay.
Well, Porcello looked good last night. He went six innings, giving up just three hits, one run with four strikeouts. But as we said last night, all about the shave. Here's what he had to say.
I didn't even have a hit up until that point, but I felt good. My swing felt good. I felt like I was just kind of missing pitches earlier, maybe trying to do too much. So just tried not to do too much. I mean, at this point, I have no hits. Might as well just try and get a knock. Threw me a little cutter slide or something like that. Stay behind it, and I caught a barrel.
Went to Sprayberry High School, the only school that I ever caught a touchdown against in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Ever. I had one touchdown as a tight end, and it was at Sprayberry. That's how bad they suck.
Varsity?
Yeah, varsity.
Oh, boy.
Good for you. I got close a few times. Tackled at the two, but that was the only touchdown I ever scored.
Oh, yeah. How big is Sprayberry?
I go back there every once in a while and shed a tear. It's pretty big. I mean, those schools in like Marietta and Kennesaw are massive. So.
Okay.
There's one that's like a college campus. I went to one called McEachern for a year that, I mean, honestly, had a grant, and we had a football field and a soccer field, and they were both like giant stadiums on either side. Georgia's not that far off from Texas. Texas beats them all as far as massive stadiums, but Georgia's kind of close. Like, they're like the minor league massive high school stadium world, so.
Yeah, I had one touchdown in high school as well, and the corner fell down, or the linebacker fell down, and I still almost got caught from behind.
Oh, I couldn't have been more open. Like, I mean, it was just completely blown coverage, and I was just wide open, and I ran like 15 yards into the end zone. I was like, whoa, nobody tackled me? Yeah. I'm pretty damn slow.
Yeah, but I still have a video of it. I still have a video of mine. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Naughty by Nature, I think that I let them slide a little bit. Drez is a, not Drez, that's Black Sheep, whatever the guy's name is, decent MC.
Is this Feel Me Flow or what's
the Feel Me Flow.
They're on tour right now with New Kids in the Block.
Hey.
Naughty by Nature.
Okay.
Debbie Gibson, I believe, is also on the bill.
Debbie Gibson?
Yeah, it's called like the 80s mixtape tour. Even though Naughty by Nature, I think, was early 90s. So
Listen, if you can get that paycheck, get it.
Is Tiffany on that tour too? I think she might be. I think it's Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, New Kids on the Block, and Naughty by Nature. Salt and Pepper possibly also
Salt
on the bill.
Salt and Pepper, terrible live act. I saw them, unfortunately, at some Phantom Gourmet thing that I had to go to. Not good.
No.
And now Spinderella is no longer with them.
Well, then there goes the band.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, you know, David Lee Roth leaving Van Halen.
Yeah, Spinderella. Well, she was the only attractive one. So that's off the table.
I don't know. Peppa was all right.
I don't know. That song Shoot wasn't very good.
I suggest that you...
I haven't seen them recently.
Check out a recent photo.
None of us were drinking out of the Fountain of Youth.
I don't think that... I, as much as I pleasured myself to MTV back in the day, Salt and Pepper somehow managed to not be one of them.
You know who did hold up well, though, is Debbie Gibson, speaking of her. She looks great.
I never liked her.
But she's still cute. Like, I mean, she was never, like, you know, hot, but she was always cute.
See, Tiffany, I would play with myself. But not
I think
Debbie
she's
Gibson.
I think she's held up well too.
She went Playboy. She got a bunch of plastic surgery.
I think it's been like 15 years though since then. I mean, she still looks pretty good.
Well, you get plastic surgery and you get it well done, and that's what happens.
Well, it was bad news, good news for Robert Kraft yesterday. Bad news was that just 9 days after the judge threw out the video evidence of Kraft inside that Orchids of Asia Day Spa, the prosecution said, not so fast. They're appealing the ruling, arguing that the video is in fact admissible evidence and still should be released, meaning the trial is going to be postponed indefinitely while the prosecutors continue to make this appeal. And it's also being reported that this being dragged out for upwards of, they said that this could end up going a year to 2 years until there's finally a resolution.
Hell yeah.
Which is obviously the bad news for Robert Kraft. The good news, however, is that we found out yesterday that Goodell doesn't want to decide on a punishment for Robert Kraft until the case has been completed, so the chances are that he will be at the banner ceremony in September. Here's Goodell being asked about Robert Kraft yesterday.
Again, I'm not going to speculate on the last part about discipline. I think, again, getting all the facts. But, yes, of course, we'll be gathering our own facts and trying to understand what actually transpired, as we would in any case.
Ow, what more do you need to know? You know everything that happened. I mean, it's all right there in the transcripts. We know
I mean, butt play was involved. I don't think you can punish someone for liking that.
Well, so that is kind of the way it stands right now, is this thing could end up going a year to 2 years.
Good for him.
But because...
Keep this in the news as long as possible.
Because the NFL has said that they're going to wait until it's all completed.
You get to go to a banner ceremony.
More than likely.
The next 2 years have this pop up sporadically.
And that's what matters, apparently, to Robert Kraft, is to be there on September. Whenever it is,
God bless him,
and watch the banner.
And
so.
Then I would just enjoy sporadically having a butt play brought to my attention.
One thing that was asked yesterday about towards Roger Goodell was about the introduction that they've had of studies about the treatment of with marijuana for pain amongst players in the NFL. And here's what he had to say about that.
There are a lot of alternative pain medications and treatments. And those are the types of things that we want this committee to focus on with medical experts and with medical science behind that. Of course, they will look at one of those is what role medical marijuana can have in that. That's something that will be part of their studies, but it is much broader than that. And of course, the behavioral health is a different issue. We've long been focused on mental health, but this, I think, takes it to another level.
Well, Chris Long, who just retired, he went on the Dan Patrick Show on Tuesday.
They have a sign on the Dan Patrick Show that says popsicles.
They do, for some weird reason. In the back, right amongst all their man stuff.
Right next to the shirt that says Danny Jawface.
Yeah. Yeah, but it just says popsicles.
Like, out of all the signs you could have chosen, why did you go with popsicles? I mean, did you just run out of... We need more signs. Need more signs. Go to the Cracker Barrel. Just steal, like, axes off the walls.
I don't know. What do dudes like? Popsicles?
Dudes love popsicles,
I guess,
man.
Yes, you know.
So, Chris Long was talking about marijuana, and apparently he used it a lot during his playing time at the NFL.
I'm not a dry snitch. I'm not going to put a percentage on how much the league smokes, but I certainly enjoyed my fair share on a regular basis through my career. So I was never afraid to say that. I'm able to say it more explicitly now. I mean, listen, if not for that, I'm not as capable of coping with the stressors of day-to-day NFL life. You know, a lot of guys get a lot of pain management out of it.
But what about testing, though, Chris?
Tordal did more pain management for me. I think the testing is arbitrary. You know, the league knows damn well what they're doing. I mean, testing players once a year for street drugs, which is a terrible classification for, you know, marijuana, is kind of silly because players know when the test is. We can stop. And in that month or two that you stop, you're going to reach for the sleeping pills. You're going to reach for the painkillers. You're going to reach for, you know, the bottle a little bit more. On the weekend, you're going to have a few more drinks, and a few turns into a few too many. And if you're serious about players not smoking, you know, you'd be testing more often. I hope they go the opposite direction and just kind of realize how arbitrary doing that one test a year is.
He's exactly right. And it's going to take players who have retired to come out and speak now that they can't be punished for it on just how much they use marijuana to deal with their pain management. How long does it take for it to get out of your system? Because I know you said everyone knows when the test is going to be. Is it like 2 months?
No.
For it to get completely out? Because, I mean, they used to tell us horror stories when we were kids. Like, you know,
it depends if it's pee, blood, or hair.
Because hair is how they used to do it at Blockbuster when I worked there.
Jesus, what a waste of money.
And I'm just like, dude, we work at a video store. Yeah. Who cares if we smoke pot?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope. I mean,
you would think we'd be a better employee if we smoked pot and watched movies.
Yeah. I don't know. Did Dan Patrick at any point just go, like, did you ever reach for the popsicle?
I don't know if he did that.
When you were getting down, did you ever just got a sign right here that says popsicle?
If it's that easy, then it makes you even, like, angrier at the players in the NFL who got busted for smoking pot. Because if it's just, like, a two-week thing, and, there's, you know, if you don't smoke for 2 weeks, they're not going to be able to find it, then you're like, all right, man. And you look at people who end up getting in trouble for it and going, really, just for 2 weeks you couldn't control yourself?
Mm. Well, then you reach for the bottle.
Well, he's right. I mean, I think that that's the biggest point, is that marijuana is keeping these people away from the harder stuff. And the fact that the NFL, as he said, obviously knows what they're doing and isn't taking that part seriously, then it's almost like they're pro-narcotics. They're pro the stuff that's going to get you in trouble, that's going to get you addicted, and it's going to get you hooked to it and cause even worse problems later on in life. So why they're so why is they hesitating so much to end up making this something like a legal treatment, especially if it's medical, I don't understand it.
All right, we're going to talk to Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Boston Bruins. There'll be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text JASON to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.